You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The upside of failure.
That was
sometimes failure is the foundation of greatest success stories.
You don't understand how long you've been sitting on my list of people to interview.
That intro.
Like, you don't. You don't. Firstly, I'm obsessed with you and your work. And I'm going to share a very specific memory.
Right.
Around the time where there was the Zama Zama issues and you went in underground. And you went to go speak to the people. And I said, this woman is what it's about. You went to the people where they are to speak to them. You weren't concerned about the ground collapsing. No. You were just like, you were trying to understand, Jorge, what is going on. And I absolutely admire that kind of passion, because I try my best to carry that into my work, where there's no such thing of that's not in my job description or I don't get paid to do that. You're just like, I want to do this. But I want to start by asking, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about being a journalist? Do people always think you're cross-questioning them when you're just trying to have a conversation?
All the time. All the time. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm a huge fan of 702 and the work that you do here, in particular because I work with some of your great journalists you know, here in 702 land.
You and guys drink tea in the courts together.
I'm not sure about tea, Mara, but well, take scratch that out. It's Friday, but fine. But yeah, you know, thank you so much. You know, I think everything is just about work ethic. And people think that when they meet you in the streets and when you just want to relax with your friends and your family, it's like you're spying on them. I'm like, hi, guys, I'm just here to chill. Only my close friends understand this, you know. And if I meet somebody new who joins the crew and we're sitting somewhere in Parkhurst and we're just chilling, it's like, oh, just don't report on me when I what you're doing. And I'm like, guys, no, I'm just here to relax. It makes you uncomfortable sometimes because give me two guys, like, I just want to chill.
You
and
also
have a good
have
time.
A life.
Have a life.
And I think also because the work that you do is so serious, they might do people get surprised when they see you like or jiva at a wedding or like just having a life.
Yabona mina. Dear jiva. I have a good time. I am not here for misconceptions. Or I live my life.
Yes.
But I do understand that there's a responsibility. I get Conno Jive on Pierce with the table, you know, I can't do that. But, you know, I really believe in carrying the right story for young people. That it doesn't mean that Tonsobe Steve, you must be stiff now in order for you to be able to achieve your dreams. Be who you are. Those who accept it do. Those who don't accept it don't. And the misconception is always like we're stiff people. You know, we're always in the serious mode. And I really try to put much of myself out there that is not serious. And those who might think, oh, okay, I can't take you seriously now in the news because you're portraying a side of something that we're not supposed to see. I hate those stereotypes. And those are things that we need to deal with, I think, also in the newsroom when people think that you're not allowed to do or say certain things because of who you are. No, I don't subscribe to that.
How do you deal with, you know, you've been in the industry for a long time and, you know, public other public figures become your friends. And now having to report on deaths of loved ones. We were talking earlier this week and I was like, that's actually a part of my job that I hate, that I still got to come on air and talk about people that I knew personally, people that I loved. How do you deal with that? And I think just to also clarify, me, I have a bit more freedom as a host. For you as a journalist, the standards are completely different.
It's incredibly tough because you really have to try and separate yourself from the story. You know, I think about you having to pay tribute to, you know, someone who I enjoyed, I loved, who I think everyone in this industry did. Eusebius Makaiser may his soul rest in peace. And condolences, of course, to you guys. He used to work here too. And, you know, having to report on people who you're close to the subject matter, you really have to try and divorce yourself from the story. I don't know how I've done. I've never really looked at myself and said, Chris, how have you done in, you know, reporting about stories about people who are close to you? But for me, it's always about just trying to remain professional. I have that thing in me where I'm able to separate myself from most of the stories that I do, if all for that matter. You can't really go get too close.
Which is the story that you've ever had to cover where you didn't know the people at all, but you were shattered by covering that story or reporting on it or hearing of the details? And I mean, you're still human at the end of the day, even when you have the ability to divorce yourself from time to time.
Yeah.
But that story that maybe the moment the cameras were off, you just broke down. It just was too much for you.
Wow.
And in your whole career.
Yeah. It's definitely the recent trip to Turkey. I have never seen the kind of a devastation that we witnessed in Turkey. I've never seen buildings, blocks and blocks, entire, you know, villages destroyed. And I remember, you know, speaking to your colleague on 94.7, Robert Marawa, because he wanted to understand what was happening there. Bafana Banyana Banyana was due to travel to that country in the midst of all of that chaos. And I've never encountered kinder people than the people in Turkey who offered us food with the gift of the givers and all of that in the midst of such destruction. And at one point when we were filming, we were told that the rescue team from South Africa under the banner of the gift of the givers was going to extract someone who's believed to still be alive. This was days after the earthquake had taken place and the ground started shaking. And I thought, okay, this is it now. Because buildings that had pancaked would just collapse. And I remember I saw, his name is Mohammed. It's a young boy. And we tried to feature him to try and understand the gravity of the situation. He was still waiting for his parents to be brought up from underground. He didn't know if they were alive or if they were dead. And he approached us with such grace. He was smartly dressed, but you could tell the grief on his face. And I just looked. And from that point, once the cameras were off, once I was done shooting my links for the news, I completely broke down. And I think until this day, I can never forget what we really witnessed, because we'd slept outside in conditions I've never previously experienced in my 20-year journalism career. It was minus, in the minus degrees, sleeping on the floor in tents. You know, we were having, we didn't bath for 8 days. We, you know, the gift of the givers was so kind to us in how they handle the media in that setup. We didn't have places to use the bathroom. I can't tell you where we used the bathroom. It was, but that was not the issue. The issue was to tell about the plight of these people and the kind of devastation that was reported about worldwide. It really drew the world's attention and it was just devastating, Siswam. I can't, it takes me back every time. And I think sometimes about how fortunate we are, because when we left that country, I thought about returning to my bed that was warm and having a structure over my head.
And bath.
And bath after 8 days. And having to leave those people behind was just, that just broke me. I cried multiple times. And you know, that's the part that people don't get to see. They think you're hard. You have no emotion. You do have emotion, but sometimes when it becomes too much, because much of what we cover is grief and sadness. There's no good news.
I mean, no one's calling a Griselda to come and report on the good news.
No.
So what ended up happening to the little boy's parents? Did they recover them?
We left before we knew what happened to Mohammed's parents. And I still try to reach out and ask if anyone has seen him. You know, where is he? It really touched my heart because it kind of drew to me a space where you realize how fortunate you are, even where you are in your country. And with the kind of devastation that we'd seen, I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything. When I came back from, in fact, from Turkey, I said, what is there more left for me to do in my 20-year career? What else was there to see? Because that was certainly the worst.
And I'm sure coming home, that 4-hour load shedding block didn't seem so bad after all.
No, it didn't. And having a bed to sleep in and having to turn on, even if it's that the electricity was for an hour, I'm not certainly not downplaying what's going on in this country with load shedding, because it is absolute nonsense. Excuse my language.
Crisis,
it's a crisis. So, I mean, it's, you really get to appreciate.
Mm.
You'll never get to appreciate what you have and how far you've come if you don't get to see something so, so extreme.
So, take us back then to a young Criselda.
Yeah.
What did you believe fail, the word failing, failure meant when you were a child? What did it mean to you?
I first experienced failure in grade 11.
Mm.
I failed.
Like,
the, I failed.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fail.
And for you, what did that mean?
That was so devastating. I didn't know how I was going to go back to school.
Mm.
I didn't know how I was going to go back to school, but I had such great parents. Such great parents who said, you're going to go back. You know what you did, and I know what I did.
What did you do?
Ah, Bengfunuk Jaiva with my...
You wanted to, yes, to do the jiving.
Yes, I wanted to feel. I wanted to experience life.
Yes.
You know when you're growing up, you want to do what the other kids are doing and all of that. And even in my adult life, you know, when your team asked Chris, so what failures, what's happening?
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? Even in my young career, when I, you know, I always knew what I wanted to do, right?
Mm.
From the age of 12, I used to be a kiddies presenter in what was the former Trans Sky.
Yes.
Yes. And then I always knew I was going to be on television, I was going to do the news, and that was it.
Mm.
So I was very fortunate in that I knew what steps I needed to follow. But it came with failure.
Mm.
I failed grade 11, went back and repeated.
But did
but
you
learn lessons?
Did you think that failure meant, oh, that career I want might not happen?
No.
Okay.
No. Because every day when you wake up, you have to keep trying again.
Mm.
I fail every day. I really do. I stumble. Maybe failure is too much of a harsh, maybe too harsh.
Mm.
But you make mistakes in your life on a daily basis where you believe that perhaps nothing is going to come of it. But you have to pick yourself up.
Mm.
You have to pick yourself up and try again tomorrow. If you get, if you're lucky to get the you're fortunate to get tomorrow, use it be better.
Was it humbling having to go back to the same school, repeat what your friends move ahead of you, and what would you say that taught you?
Sure, it taught me that it taught me discipline.
Mm.
It taught me discipline because I was on the road to ill discipline. And I'm not saying that was the end of it then, because even in my career as a journalist, in my young days, I've always been one to multitask. So you would always find me on radio or television or reading the news on one of the radio stations in the country. And then I'm also a journalist on the other hand. So I had access to money.
Mm.
Money.
So where... you rich, rich girl.
No, girl, I'm rich. Not with the interest rates, darling. No. I'm thinking, how is my bond going to be paid for?
Yes.
No, not rich, rich.
Mm.
But you know when you're young and you're starting out and you don't know the value of money?
Yes.
Yes. At some point, you know, I had fantastic friends who still walk the road with me today. I remember a time when I had to sleep on my friend's couch because I'd lost my apartment.
As in like an apartment you had bought?
No. It was an apartment I was renting.
But you just couldn't keep up.
No, I just couldn't keep up because with the kind of access that I had at the time and not understanding the true value of money and how you need to look after it, so much later on in my life, I then understood that, okay, I would have invested more then. I would have done so much more. The things that I'm doing now or the things I've acquired now and other things that I do outside of journalism, I really think I could have achieved those things much earlier had I had the discipline.
Mm.
So discipline is something you work on every single day. You have to remind yourself why you were doing what you do.
But in fairness, and I find this a lot, particularly in our industry, there aren't people that are telling you what you're supposed to do. So many people I know, especially those that started young, were earning young, had multiple streams of income, all went through that phase where they're like, oh, I lost the money and then I was on my friend's couch or I was moved back home and I had to start again.
Yeah.
So that experience, did it make you feel like a failure in the sense that you were like hard on yourself and regretful, or did it help you pivot and say, okay, I'm going to do things differently and build myself again?
You definitely feel regret in the beginning. You feel regret in the beginning. And then you have to pick yourself out of that dark place and say, this is not the end of it all. I have to look at what tomorrow will bring and just make myself a better person.
Yes.
Every single day you wake up not to compete against anyone, but to come back and say, how am I going to be the best person that I can be?
I would like to invite all of you to give us a call, 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 0727021702. Cristalda Lewis is with us in studio and she'll be taking your questions.
702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
So just in terms then of failure.
Yeah.
And I find this a lot with high achievers. I consider you a high achiever and I think, Your job requires you to be, because if every day you're on air, you almost need to sort of like keep being at that level.
True.
Have you found that you've struggled with balance between, you know, work and fun, work and self-development, work and taking care of you?
Oh, absolutely. I struggled, in fact, for a very long time. And that, okay, two or three things are going to happen when that happen, when you struggle to find a balance. You are either going to fall off the rail somehow, which I did, and I seldom talk about it. In fact, I don't think I've ever spoken about it.
What do you mean by fall off the rails?
All right. So, you then move into the abuse of alcohol.
Yes.
Yes. So that was very hard.
As in, and I can see you getting a little bit teary speaking about this because what so many people don't realize with any kind of substance abuse, it is quite a dark internal struggle. I just want you to share with us, are you saying that your work-life balance, you were not coping and because of that you turned to the drinking to help with what?
Yeah, I looked to help with a balance in that. I felt like every time I had to move on to the next big thing. Because there I was, people put you on a pedestal and they expect you to be great every single day. Hey, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel like I don't want to do this, but I have to give myself a kick, just like you, right? So moving on to the next thing, no breaks, constantly moving to the next big thing. Yes, you can do this. 1 minute, I'm in a different country, covering the biggest elections there. Back in the country, doing this and trying to also, look after oneself. But that looking after myself didn't happen. Right? And then what happened then? I would move around and be with friends. And the only thing that ever centered around what we would do when we were not working, it was like a switch off. Now that was the switch off. The switch off was, let's sit, let's drink. Until someone had to say, if you don't stop that, everything that you've worked for the past 20 years will go down the drain. And I sat and I thought, okay, fine. Right, so what are we going to do here? We're not going to let this go down the drain. And it's a difficult space to get yourself out of. It's difficult because every single day you work at it. Every day. And you just have to, you have to put your mind to it. And essentially what I'm trying to say is that people shouldn't think that the challenges that they go through are any different. It's just that every time you'd see me on the screen, I am that bubbly person. I do what I have to do and I love it.
So would you say then that you were an alcoholic?
No.
Would you say you think you were heading in that direction?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And would you say that the alcohol was more from, depressive modes?
Yes.
Anxious modes?
Yes. Anxiety?
Yes.
Now that... that anxiety, which I know many of my colleagues in the field struggle with, we talk about it a lot and try to help each other through. And it doesn't make you weak. No, doesn't make you weak at all. there's, you're not going to call me, nobody's going to call me weak.
Mm.
I'm Babes Wendaba. You know, but anyway, you know, it's part of life and it's lessons that you have to traverse. And that was one of a very painful lesson for me.
Mm.
And, you know, you have to kind of like restructure what you do, how you do, try and find better ways of coping and so, get help.
Yes, yes. So what would you say your relationship with drinking is now?
Hmm. Not the best.
Hmm.
You're not where I would like it to be.
Hmm.
Right? But I think we're a work in progress.
Mm.
We're a work in progress where there is a clear distinction that you can actually have fun,
yes.
You know, without, you know, sitting. Because most of my friends, you know, how you'd find the space to be so hectic is that you all have friends that are either, most of my friends would be like journalists, spokespeople. So these are not people that are going to go to across the road to one of the restaurants across the road and drink in public. So it was always let us sit and drink at someone's house.
Mm.
Now you see there, it's a safe space. Nobody sees you, right?
Mm.
So even if you misbehave, nobody sees you, right?
Mm.
So you think you can get away with certain things. And in actual fact, you can't. Because at some point, it all catches up with you.
Mm.
And you run the risk, as I said, of just losing everything that you've worked for. It's not a great relationship right now, but I'm good.
Mm.
I'm really good. I really think that, you know, apart from, you know, working to achieve possibly everything, you know, when someone says that they're living their dreams, I really and truly am living everything that I aspire to be, you know. And I get such great support from everyone. And so the other parts, while you focus on your professional life, I think taking care of oneself is equally important. So every single day we try to do that.
I want to, with the few seconds that we have left, quickly give an opportunity for listeners to share their message. Kau in Randfontein, go ahead, Criselda's listening very quickly.
Hi, Criselda. This is Kau. I've had the pleasure of working with Criselda, and I think one of the things I really loved about her is that when I came into the industry, she was one of those journalists who welcomed me with open arms and never treated me like, oh, no, you're lower than me. And I think that's a very particular skill to have. I appreciate you. I love that you're getting recognition, and I love watching you do your thing. Thank you for putting the integrity of journalism where it needs to be.
Oh, Kau and Randfontein, thank you so much. Larry in Lanesia, go ahead very quickly.
Yeah, man, thanks, man. Thanks for giving to her this platform. I think she deserves it, and I'll tell you why I say that. I know I don't have a lot of time. Is that, you know, she's so brave. She's a very, very brave person. I go back to 2021, the unrest, the way she handled that. I was saying, look at this young person there. Isn't it a dangerous place for her to go in? But no, she handled it. And I always said, you know, that Griselda can really excel to a lot of other things. That, you know, the saying of dynamite comes in small packages.
Yes.
That is so true, my dear. You keep it up. We did meet in NLA one day. You were talking to each other. Yes, but you're doing well. Keep it up. And thanks to 702 to really give it the platform. Have a great day. Guys.
Thank you so, so much, Larry. And to all of the WhatsApp messages, people are saying you're so exceptional. Another person is saying you're her memory. Just in terms of memorizing what's happening in the courts. Another person saying, my gosh, she seems so fearless. What would you want to say to all of those listeners?
Sure. You know, thank you so, so much. You know, I honestly feel sometimes I'm not worthy of so much of the support, but I really try to go out there and tell the people's story. And I think that is why people can resonate with us in what we do. And to my colleague, Kau, you know, I think that's what we need to do.
Mm.
We're not always going to be here. But everyone in this industry needs to feel like they're doing something important.
Mm.
And we work with incredible people. Shout out to Homotso Modise. She's wonderful. We love her. So, you know, thank you so much. In the communities, and I think what I pick up from the messages and the WhatsApp messages that have come through is that when you move to these different communities, you meet exceptional people, and people will always remember how you treated them. And it's been incredible working in every single one of those communities. I'm very fortunate. And thank you so much for this platform.
Griselda, thank you. I have admired and loved your work for years. I have the utmost respect for you.
Thank you.
But more importantly, your courage just to open up about your struggles that people may not be aware of. Somebody listening today, you have saved their life. Griselda, thank you.
Thank you.
It's just off to
Thank you so much.